Father, we thank you that you are working in us as individuals. You're working in us as a fellowship of believers, and you're working through us, Lord, here and in Kenya. And Lord, we just want you to work in our hearts this morning. We want you to cause your word to come alive to us, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us. We would hear you. We would respond rightly to you. Father, please bless this service. Bless your people in it. Father, and those that may be watching online, Lord, that you would bless them as well. Father, speak to us now, please. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this morning's message is A New Year, A Fresh Start. And New Year celebrations are very different around the world. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but it's pretty interesting. You know, some cultures celebrate New Year's on different dates other than December 31st into January 1st. Like the Chinese New Year's, I looked that up, and actually this year it's February 10th of 2024. That's the Chinese New Year, and it is their Year of the Dragon. Now, when I read that, I thought, ooh, the Year of the Dragon? Really? Being in the end times, which I believe that we are in the last days, and knowing that one of Satan's aliases is the dragon, also knowing that after the rapture, immediately afterwards, Satan's man, the Antichrist, will come into power. And I wonder if there's some kind of connection there with the Year of the Dragon. Maybe God said, hey, you might want to pay attention to this kind of thing. But it was just one of those kind of thing when I read it. But the Jewish people, do you know that they actually have four New Year's celebration? And it's kind of weird. The two that we're the most familiar with is Rosh Hashanah, and that will be this year, October 2nd, this in 2024. We know it more in the Bible as the Feast of Trumpets. That's the beginning of their civil calendar, and you could read about that in Numbers 29, 1 through 6, where God commands them to bring burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings. But nowhere in Scripture, even there in Numbers 29, does God say that this is supposed to be their New Year's Day. It's just Jewish tradition that they hold that day as their physical New Year. But in Exodus 12, verse 2, God says, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." That would be the first of Nisan, which this year will be April 22nd of 2024. And folks, that's Passover. That's the Passover time. It's when God delivered Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And I got to thinking, it's like, wow, that's really interesting. That because of their tradition, even though God told them that Passover was to be their new year, they celebrate Rosh Hashanah more. Really, you think about it, celebrating more the sacrifices and offerings that they give to God instead of the great deliverance that God gave to them. I was thinking there may be something, as I shared with you a few weeks ago, how most of the Jewish people today are secular. And, you know, when you're focusing on more of what you're doing for God than what God's doing for you, it's kind of easy to kind of, keep him at a distance or whatever, when you're not really thinking about all that God has done for you. It doesn't really gender that gratitude and that desire to have a relationship with him. But even those around the world who celebrate New Year's on December 31st, there's a lot of different ways that people celebrate. You know, we're all familiar with, in New York City tonight, there's going to be the ball drop, right? And, you know, we probably ought to be praying for them tonight because, you know, everybody, the tension's pretty high. There's a lot of weirdness that might go on there. But in Brazil, they practice wave jumping. And I think it's like 6, 7, or 8 waves that they jump over. They stand out and kind of knee-deep water and then jump over these waves as they come in. In Japan, they ring a bell. Everybody tries to ring this bell 108 times, okay? And then in Denmark, honest to goodness, they jump off of chairs and couches to celebrate New Year's. They do it right at midnight. They jump off the chairs and all that. And some of the cultures in Latin America, they actually run around the block a time or two with empty suitcases. They do. Look it up. Here in Arizona, in Flagstaff, do you know they have the pine cone drop? Yep, that'll be happening tonight. In Prescott, they have the boot drop. You have an electrified boot that'll drop down. But hey, not to be outdone, Sholo. Sholo, we have tonight in front of the Sholo Public Library at 11 p.m., we'll begin the festivities of the Deuce of Clubs drop, where they have a big electrified Deuce of Clubs card, playing card, that will drop down at midnight, just in case you're looking for something to do around about then, you know? Now, those things here in Arizona and New York City and all that, they're just for fun, right? But those New Year's traditions that I mentioned around the world here, the jump in the waves and all that other kind of stuff, they're all done in hopes of doing those things will bring good luck in the new year. Now, you think about the concept of luck. Think about that. What's luck? I actually looked it up in several dictionaries. First one said, quote, a force that brings good fortune or adversity. Another dictionary, even worse, the force that causes things. Think about that. The force that they believe that people that wrote the dictionary actually believe that there is this impersonal force out there. He said, the force that causes things, especially good things, to happen to you by chance and not as a result of your own efforts or abilities. Is there really this impersonal force out there? Did George Lucas get it right? You know, the Star Wars, is the force with you kind of thing? Is that really, the truth? Well, not according to the Word of God. You know, everything, as you read through the Word of God, you see that everything has a cause and effect, either because of the words and actions of ourselves or other people, or God working in His creation. But you think about doing some of those silly things, like jumping over waves, ringing bells, running around the block with an empty suitcase. Many of those things, and there's a ton more, you want to spend about an hour looking at some goofy things people do on the news, get on the internet today when you get home, and you'll crack up. But many of those things are rooted in idolatry. The whole worshiping false gods, paying homage to them. That's where all those traditions come from. And folks, the truth of the matter is, there are no other gods other than the one true living God. All of those other gods, they're just idols. They're fabrications from people. They're work of men's hands, as the Bible says. And that truth is declared all throughout the Bible. One of those places that it's clearly put out there is 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One God, one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Something else, one of the things that people do all over the globe on New Year's Day, and you might do that, and it really doesn't matter what day they celebrate New Year's, is people make New Year's resolutions. How many have their New Year's resolutions that you're doing? Okay, one person, two people, all right. All right, I know. The rest of you guys are just chicken. You're afraid that if you raise your hand, I'm going to say something bad about New Year's resolutions. I'm not. It's okay. It's okay to have a New Year's resolution, so long as you say, Lord willing, and God, I'm incapable of making changes in that. Lord, I need you kind of thing. But committing your ways to him is really, you know, the best New Year's resolution you can make. But some of the top New Year's resolutions, and you know what the first one is, right? Gonna lose weight, exactly. And then right up against it is eat healthier, exercise more, quit smoking or now vaping, and other bad habits. And one of those things, I saw this real interesting. I saw it on a couple of different lists. In fact, I even saw it on the news the other day, is people made a resolution or making resolutions to drink less during the new year. They're going to not drink as much. And that was one of those things that, like, you know, that's kind of interesting because people recognize that that's a problem. That, okay, drinking is a problem, but they won't commit to not drinking at all. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people deal with sin in that way. They don't want to get rid of sin entirely, but just enough to where it's not debilitating. Just enough to where it doesn't mess up my life. I want to still have fun with it when I can, but I just don't want it to run my life. Folks, understand, when we give sin a foothold in our life, eventually it will run your life. And yet, most people look to New Year's Day and they make resolutions in hopes of a better year ahead. And just about all cultures see New Year's Day as a time of new beginning. Now think about that. You know, they think, well, it's out with the old, in with the new. And people look forward and have a sense of hope that things are going to be better for the new year. Now think about that. Is there some kind of a magical thing that happens on that day? Is that impersonal force luck working overtime on New Year's Day, whatever day that is on your calendar? Well, no. Not at all. Luck doesn't exist. And the only magic that the Bible talks about is evil, sorcery, that kind of thing. And folks, it's all a distraction from the truth. And folks, most importantly, it's a distraction from focusing our attention on God, seeking him and drawing closer to him, which is the real for sure way that you can have a better year, a better life, is by a deeper, closer relationship with the living God. We can allow traditions, superstitions, and ignorance to lead us into a false sense of hope. I mean, you think about it. How many people have put hope in a new year, that this year is going to be different, without making any changes, like drawing closer to God with repentance or anything like that? How many times have you had your hopes dashed? How many times were you disappointed that this year didn't turn out any better than last year? Folks, we have to focus and really keep the main thing the main thing. We have to not allow ourselves to be distracted, whether it's tradition or superstition or whatever, because we cannot trust in things that don't exist to help us. Those imaginary things, they can't help. And the problem is that those things that aren't real, that we'll put our hope in, thinking they are real or hoping they're real, we do that at the expense of having real hope in the real God. They're a distraction. Even thinking that you have to wait for a certain day or a certain time of year or even to be in a certain place to make things right with God or to begin a new relationship with God or to get things right with God is something that the devil has convinced many, many people of. Folks, that's just not true. Instead of thinking you got to wait, you know, I got to wait till the calendar is getting ready to change or something, or I got to go to church to be able to get right with God or whatever. Listen to what God himself has said. Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. And he goes on to describe what happened in the wilderness with the children of Israel. That because they refused to obey God's word that was spoken to them when God told them, go into the promised land. Remember, they sent spies in there and 10 of them came back and gave a bad report. Oh, the giants are going to eat us up. Oh, they're going to tell we're doomed. We're doomed. We can't do it, I tell you. And only Caleb and Joshua came back and said, hey, it ain't no big deal. We got a big God. Let's go get him. But the people almost stoned Caleb and Joshua because of that. They almost killed them. But because they refused, they did not experience what God had for them. Because they wouldn't trust God. Folks, they did not go into the promised land. And God talks about that in Hebrews. They refused. They went astray in their hearts. They never entered the promised land, never received what God had ready to give to them. And then he warns us, New Testament believers, he warns us that today when we hear God's voice, that we have to respond rightly. We have to respond in faith. In Hebrews 3, 12 through 15, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. See, folks, the right time to respond to God is always today. The day that you realize that God has spoken, the day that you hear his word, that's the day to respond. We're never to wait for some special day on a calendar to do it. It's always right now, today. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, we read, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe you did that once, and you're not living for him now. Maybe you walked away. You drifted away. Maybe when you gave your life to Christ afterwards, you weren't sure if what you did was real or that you meant it at that time. Folks, you could receive Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, right now, today. And you could begin a whole new life right now. You don't have to wait till midnight tonight. You could do it right now. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 promises this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the verse in the Bible that got me on my knees. I've shared it with you. Some of you have heard it, but when I gave my life to Christ, you know, my wife was divorcing me. I was sleeping on a couch. I had to beg her to let me do that. Oh, please don't make me sleep in my truck. Let me sleep on a couch. I won't bug you. I won't talk to you or anything like that. And this guy at work, God just orchestrated everything to where I ended up working right next to this guy. And he started sharing the Bible with me. He started sharing the gospel. And I had nothing else to do at night. So I drug this Bible out that this other friend had given me about a year prior. But when he gave it to me, it was like, let's see here, doorstop, paperweight. I just better hide this thing before somebody sees it and they'll never let me hear the end of it, man. I'll be laughingstock. I dug that out and I started reading it. And I got to that verse. I started reading in Matthew 1:1 and I got to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It was like a light bulb came on. I read that, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things come new. I got down on my knees, and I remember praying this. God, I just read that you could make me into a whole new creation. God, you and I both know that's what I need. Because I had tried cleaning up my act several times, fall on my face every time. I couldn't do it. But when I was praying that, and you know, I thought, man, as bad as I have been, God's not listening. You know, I know now it was one of those fiery darts from the devil to burn me down that thought came into my head. Nah, man, after how bad you've been, you just better go kill yourself. Do something, man, because God ain't going to listen to you. It's over. You're toast. And then I remember reading another verse where he tells, I'll read it in a bit of here, but he tells that he won't cast me away. And I came to him and, you know, I told him, okay, I remember reading that whoever comes to you, you won't cast out. Well, I'm coming. And if you'll make me into a new creation, I'll be yours the rest of my life. And he did that. 2 weeks after I did that, my wife was just kind of walking by me, and she describes it. She tells her friends, say, you know, it was really annoying. It's like all of a sudden, Tony turned into this light bulb, and it was just glowing. It's just irritating. And she tells me, she says, you know, you're weird, but I like it. You know, maybe I'll stop the divorce. And she did. And another 2 weeks later, almost a month to the day that I got saved, her and our two best friends got saved. Now, these three people, my wife and then Mike and Linda were people that I grew up with. He and I started hanging around together when we were 12 years old. We met in seventh grade metal shop. And Linda was just a 10-year-old kid down the street that had a massive crush on him at the time. And so if anybody knew me, it was those three people. And about a month after I got saved, we went to this crusade thing, and they all went forward and gave their lives to Christ. And so I'm really just stoked, man. We're coming home, and the guy that I was working with, Joe, he's driving. I'm sitting shotgun, and all three of them are in their back seat. I'm just like bouncing them down. Yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. Woo! We're all going to heaven. And my wife says, you know why we did this, don't you? I said, well, because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose again from the dead 3 days later. If you believe that, then you're saved and your sins are forgiven. She says, well, yes and no. Uh-huh. She says, yes, we have come to believe those things, but we've been talking, and we decided that anything that can change a jerk like you has got to be real. It's like, huh? Can't argue with that. She's absolutely right. And the way that you become a new creature, the way you get in Christ, as he says, the way you get saved is by putting your faith in Jesus, by trusting him, that he is who he said he is, that he died on the cross for you. It's what Jesus said himself in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, if you've heard his voice, as Hebrews 3 said, and what I just read to you is his voice, it's the words of Jesus, and really all of the Bible is his voice. It's the word of God. And folks, if you've heard that, then don't harden your heart. If you know you need to receive Christ, you need to do that. It's there, that salvation, that eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. It's there for you to receive now, today. In Romans 10, 8 through 11, we're told, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You won't be disappointed, as some translations word it. God will not let you down. Now, you might think, well, I'm not a religious person, or I was raised to believe differently, or I was raised in a different religion. Folks, this is still for you. Because the next thing that he says there in Romans 10, verses 12 and 13, he says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, but I've been too bad. God would never have me. Folks, I could tell you from personal experience, that is the lie from the devil. Again, Listen to what Jesus himself says in John 6:37. This is that verse that the Lord reminded me of, where the devil told me that I had been too bad, that God would not have me. In John 6:37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." When I was praying to receive Christ and the devil told me I was too bad, God reminded me of this verse. I just read it like maybe a week prior, maybe less than that. And I remember saying, okay, that's true. And I read someplace else that you're not a man that you would lie. God's not a liar. He keeps his word. Whoever believes in him, which means to put our faith in him, to trust him, to rely on him, will have everlasting life, Jesus said. If you come to him, he won't cast you out. He won't turn you away. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a rock solid promise. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But there's another truth about fresh starts. Something that the devil, who hates our guts, doesn't want us to know. Even after we become new creatures in Christ, even after we have those fresh starts with the Lord, even after we're born again, we mess up from time to time. We miss the mark. We sin. And we need to start over, in a sense, to get clean again when that happens. And folks, let me tell you, when that happens, you need to deal with it right then, right now, today. Because any day can be a day of new beginnings, a day of fresh start, to be cleansed from all of your sin. We just went over this last Wednesday night, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. See, the word confess there means a little bit more than the way we use that word today. We would say, come on, confess, you did it. We're just saying, you need to admit that you did this thing. But the way the Bible uses that word, it means to verbally admit to God that we sin. But it also means to agree with God. In other words, God, you're right. You saw it. What I just did was sin. And I agree with you. It's sin. It was wrong. And I agree with you so much, I don't want to do that again. He says, when we do that, when we confess our sins like that, he says he's faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's a word from the Lord for those who need this word and will hear his voice. Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now when he says, come now, let's reason together, God is not talking about, okay, I'll compromise with you. You meet me halfway here. You won't give me your whole heart? Well, how about half of it? That's not what he's saying. Basically, God is telling you, come to me. Come to me and be reasonable. Be reasonable, admit that you have sinned. Be reasonable, admit that you've gone your own way. You've done your own thing. Be reasonable on that. Receive the offer that I'm giving to you right now. The offer that I'm holding out, that I will forgive all of your sin. I will completely cleanse you, white as snow, he says, if you'll put your faith in me, if you'll come to me and trust me. Now, we always have a choice, though. See, all of us do. We can respond in faith and obedience to his voice, or we can refuse and reject Jesus and what he's done for us. Just like Israel did when God had Isaiah make that offer to them. They had a choice to make. In Isaiah 1, 19 and 20, the very next two verses after that offer, he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And we know through our study in Isaiah that for the most part, the people of Israel there rejected God's offer to trust him and be forgiven. And they did go into captivity, into Babylon. But to those who did put their faith in him, and wrap your head around this one, the people who did accept his offer and put their faith in him, turn from their idols, turn from their sin, come to God. Think about this. They are with God still today. Even today, they are with him. That just blows my mind to think about that. All this time, they've been with the Lord. And speaking of Jesus, John tells us in John 1, verses 10 through 12, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, speaking to the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. What an awesome God, huh? That's the offer that God makes to everyone here today and to those who are watching online. Even though many reject Jesus and refuse to receive him as their Lord, as their Savior, whoever will receive him, he promises to make them a child of God. And he'll do that today. You don't have to wait till the calendar turns. You don't have to wait till midnight tonight. You don't have to wait any more than right now. And even if you've been someone who's heard the voice of the Lord, you've heard the gospel, you've heard God's offer time and time again, and time again, you've rejected that offer. No, man, I'm happy doing my own thing. The Bible says sin is fun for a season, but eventually it catches up to you. The deal is, you need to know this. Even if you have rejected him before, God is a God of second chances, a God of third chances, fourth chances, five chances, 100 chances. You can have a fresh start with him today. The new beginning to start the new year with doesn't have to wait until tonight. But don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time that you need to make that decision to surrender to him, to receive his awesome offer of grace and mercy by putting your faith in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your offer. We thank you for being a God of second chances, a God of grace and mercy, of compassion. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die in our place. We thank you, Jesus, that you willingly laid down your life to redeem us from our sin, to restore that innocence, to bring back us to the place where we can have fellowship with you. Father, I pray right now, if there's anyone here that is not walking with you, anyone here that has never put their faith in you, never trusted you for salvation, or maybe if there's someone here or online that has done that, but they've walked away and they find themselves today not with you. Father, I pray that you have spoken to their hearts, and I pray that you would help them not to harden their hearts at this moment, but that they would surrender. And if that's you, well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you want to receive that offer of God's grace through faith in Jesus, then I'm just going to lead you in a little prayer. And if you mean it, God hears your heart, and he will respond to you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you want to do that, just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I am sorry for my sin. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he rose again from the dead on the third day, and he has ascended to heaven even now. Come into my life. Lord, help me to live for you. Make me into a new creation. Restore me. Lord, cleanse me because of what Jesus did for me. And help me to live for you from this moment on. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that, doesn't matter if you felt anything or not. So important that we don't base our lives on feelings. Our feelings will lead us astray 99.999% of the time. And the heart is desperate and deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God did his part. He's not a man that he would lie. And if you've come to him today, he has not turned you away. He has not cast you out. You can count on that. Let's stand up and let's worship him with one last song before we go.